Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
B-Pod Studios.
These guys know how to connect with you about Boston sports.
Call and give us your take and then get off the phone.
Kelger and Maz on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
All right, Maz, your thoughts today on Kyrie Irving and the state of the Celtics?
So the Kyrie comments, again, I went through and read them like everyone else did this morning. I started to lose my mind again. You know, he made one comment in particular about how Brad Stevens has never coached a guy like me. And I sort of went, oh, my God, here we go again. Like, it's just always me, 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 I, me. And I thought, you know, good God, just stop. Stop already. Stop. So the sad part is I think he's trying to actually make an effort. I think yesterday was his idea of actually trying to make an effort. Because I don't think it's a coincidence that, you know, Jaylen Brown made some comments yesterday. And I actually like Brown's comments. And again, I'm just I'm reading from the Globe where he says, it's toxic. I can't really point out one thing. I don't have all the answers. I'm just trying to be part of the change. I'm going to try to do my best. That's all I've got to say. Like, I hear that and I say, it's really that simple. Like, as a player on that team, stick to your role. Whatever they ask you to do, you do it. You don't question anyone else's judgment or play. Just go out and do what you're supposed to do. That's it. And I think that that is what Brown is trying to say there. So I thought there was actually some leadership shown there by Jaylen Brown. I feel like Jaylen Brown acted like more of a leader yesterday than Kyrie did. And then, you know, now look, even then they can't help themselves. Like, there are always these little comments that they make that you sort of say, was that directed at? And so as I continue with Brown, everybody has to be on page. If one person's not on page, it's going to affect the whole group. So I feel like there he's talking about Kyrie.
Absolutely.
Right? So now again, he doesn't name him, but I think something happened on that flight out west. Something happened. They had a heart-to-heart. Somebody said something to someone, and they tried to clear the air. Because when they showed up yesterday, based on everything I've read and heard, it sounds like guys are trying to make an effort and that the tone of everybody was a little different. Brian Robb today of Boston Sports Journal, B-Rob, formerly B-Rob in the closet, right?
Yes.
Okay. Tweeted out today that Stevens acknowledged he had a long talk with Kyrie after the Rockets game. That was on his Twitter account. So to me, I sort of add all that up and say, so now all of a sudden on the plane, they had some sort of come to Jesus, or at least they think they did. I still don't think they're going to get by it. I don't. I look at it and say, it's all well and good during an off day on a flight when you're all up there in the air together and you have a day off in the Bay Area to say everything's fixed. The first time something goes bad in a game, they'll be deteriorating to the same crowd.
Isn't it a little late?
That's what I feel.
Yeah, I mean, at this point.
The team has trouble. They come together and they figure it out. All-star break. Or, like, that's typically the time. We're now a month past the All-Star break or whatever. It's a little late.
I mean, I think the damage is done. I don't know if they're going to dig their way out of this.
No, the bitchy, inconsistent Celtics, that's who they are. The anomalies are where they have these little winning streaks where they, you know, fool people like me. And oh, they figured it out. Look at Gordon Hayward before the All-Star break. He looks pretty good. He's found himself. Nope. No. And they haven't done it this time either. It's too late in the season.
Okay, a couple of Irving comments that are just really annoying. The guy's insufferable. I've been saying it for over a year. The guy's insufferable. Painful to listen to. Painful. But you know what I'm coming to realize? My thought today is it really shouldn't matter. You know, his bitchiness with the media or his nonsense comments or just the diarrhea of the mouth, that doesn't matter. The issue is he's playing like crap. He's playing half and I care about how he plays. It'd be one thing if he told me the earth was flat and whatever and did all of his crap, you know, with his comments, but he was digging in offensively and being a factor and playing smart, team offense and digging in defensively and giving it his all on the floor. That's all we should care about. That's the story. That's not being talked about enough. He's dogging it on the floor. That's the story. I mean, I'll give you all the comments and we'll rail against him because it's annoying and he's insufferable. So he deserves to be called out on it and we'll do it. But we all have to admit, we'd put up with it if he was going balls out on the floor. That's not getting talked about nearly enough. He's dogging it on defense and he's playing sloppy on offense. And last game, several of the recent games, he's disengaged on the floor. Never mind the Kevin O'Connor thing yesterday. He's detached and, you know, disengaged, you know, away from the team. On the floor, he's become an impediment. And so that's the story. That's what I care about. Start playing hard. But, you know, but then again, just listening to him. On the thing with Brad Stevens. It starts with my relationship with Brad, us being on the same page, he said. He takes responsibility for our losses and wins, and I take responsibility for our losses and wins, and we share it amongst everyone else because we all have a great hand in making this work. It's a hard thing to put together. We have a year together, so I would hope after a year we would be closer. But also, he's never coached any player like me.
I wanted to throw up when I read that.
If you think about Brad's years of having an established player, but I'm not coming from a situation where I was on the number one. I was on the number one team competing against Brad. And now I'm on his team and he's putting me in his system. That's a big transition for anyone to do. He's never coached anyone like me, Mess.
Oh, no. Again, I read that line. I wanted to throw up. I just went to, because again, that's a LeBron comment. That's what he's never coached anybody like me. I mean, and I'm special. I'm different. And it's like, dude, just play the team game. That's all you have to do. You don't have all the power. This is like reminiscent to me of, do you remember when LeBron went to Miami the first time, the decision?
Of course.
And he said Coach Spo is going to stay. I remember thinking, LeBron now thinks he hires the coach. Like, and this is what it is with Kyrie. You know, he's never coached a player like me. I mean, you know, because it's about me, right? That's what the whole thing's about. I wanted to throw up when I read that. So now on some level, I think, again, someone got in his ear or said something to him because it feels to me like he wants to back off, but he can't stop himself.
Well, he softened yesterday for sure.
And like, but even still, he continues to self-sabotage.
I mean, totally.
But like I said yesterday, maybe he just had dinner with his buddy Durant and it took the edge off. And he's in a better mood because he's with what he considers a contemporary. Or maybe they had a conversation on the way out and sort of cleared the air, and so that's a better attitude. But you're right. I mean, the more he talks, the more his feelings come through, his real feelings, and they're, again, he's painful now. But just seeing somebody question Bron's body of work, like my body of work, KD's body of work, the team success falls on the best player, and whether to call it fair or unfair, nobody should ever question what type of winner those guys are, what type of winner I am, or whether or not I have the team first mentality. Why should no one ever question you?
You got me again.
You're beyond.
No, they're all infallible. I guess he must have missed that clip last night of LeBron walking the dog to the 3-point line and then just picking up the ball and chucking it. Yeah, that was a good look.
That was actually a smart play. I can't believe he's getting criticism for that.
Oh, come on. Really?
Yeah, he was going for the 2-for-1.
Ugh. Yeah,
exactly what he should have done. There were 30 seconds left on the clock. They get a second possession out of it. It was a 2-for-1. No one made him touch the ball. I'm surprised he got criticized for that. That was the right play.
Okay, how about Kyle Kuzma having to push him to go play defense?
Different story.
LeBron's checked out, too.
Checked out, just like Kyrie. They're not playing defense. They're disengaged.
I mean,
On the floor. All this stuff, Kyrie's, you know, diarrhea of the mouth, his moronic commentary, which is really what I feel Kyrie is. Moronic half the time with this stuff. It's really a sidebar. It really should be a sidebar. He's not playing hard. That's the issue. I'll say this for the mouthy little peanut. The little peanut. He, you know, he had a high opinion of himself too. He became painful to listen to, right? You gotta back up the Brinks truck for me, and he got all this superstaritis too. At least he played hard. He played his little tush off when he was on the floor.
That whole group. I've made my apologies. I know I mocked them, called them the Bridgies, but they gave you max effort night in, night out.
But at least Isaiah singularly did.
Yeah.
I mean, he was really limited defensively, really. But did you ever go out of a game saying Isaiah didn't sell out, didn't empty the bucket for you?
No. And again, I also have a problem with him mentioning himself in the same breath as LeBron and Kevin Durant.
Well, you don't have a high opinion of yourself or anything, do you?
I mean, LeBron's won 3 titles. So has Durant. or is it two?
Two.
Whatever. Okay. But even so, like multiple titles. This guy was one and he was the second best player on the team. So I look at it and say, why shouldn't we question your ability to run a team?
Right.
You've never done it.
Right.
Why shouldn't we question that?
What was your body of work in Cleveland before LeBron got there?
Exactly. Like, I look at the whole thing and say, no. You haven't reached that. This is part of Kyrie's problem. He's not what he thinks he is, which is an issue.
Okay. And this would all be less of an issue in my mind if he just played hard. He's not playing hard. He's checked out. That's the story. That's what he should be getting ripped for. Your thoughts on all of this. We still have our Patriots and Bruins stuff on the board as well. Red Sox items to you on everything right after these words.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub. BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone. Listening to Felger and Mass.
Doesn't always have to be ha ha he he.
Oh, love it.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
I said it before, but I didn't really come into this game to be cameras in my face, you know, be famous, be a celebrity, wherever embodies that. So it's a little hard for me, you know. I wanted those things when I was younger, but now at this point in my career, I just want to play basketball at a very, very high level. And, you know, the distractions that come within the team sometimes can get overwhelming. And I'm human, so, and I just try not to let it seep into, you know, my teammates. And that's the most important thing, is just, you know, set an example for these young guys. And I don't even want to call them young guys, but my teammates. When you come into, you know, a situation where, you know, you're heading into free agency, you have to answer every single question about the team, or you have to answer about the mood, the attitude, and, you know, I got away with doing that for so many years of just, like, you know, being angry and not really being questioned about or anything like that. It's just like, what's wrong with him? It's like, this gets overwhelming at times just from, you know, you have high expectations, you want it all right now, and you have a particular level that I've been at for a long time since I was a kid. I was blessed with a lot of talent, and to be able to share that, that would be beneficial for the group.
We mentioned this yesterday when we heard the cut, but you like how he walked back the young guy thing?
I mean, again, someone said something to him on the plane. Maybe it was Stevens. I don't know. But somebody said something to him like, Kyrie, every time you call them the young guys, you're separating yourself from them. Every single time you do it. And again, it was like, it's classic LeBron 101. You know, my guys, my team. That's how LeBron referred to it all the time.
Well, no, LeBron used to call Kyrie kid.
Always. But the whole thing was LeBron always put himself above the other guys on the roster.
He's a blowhard, but he is smart enough to realize, you know, that he's made a mistake there and he's heard what's being said. So I don't know if anyone actually said anything to him. He knows what's up there, so he caught himself. But it's so obvious, too.
Oh, God, he is. I mean, again, because he knows I slipped up again.
My teammates.
So he does. He walks it back. He backs off it because he realized he did it. He's just, it's constantly about him. It's brutal. It makes your brain go numb. Oh, he's a lot to take. Holy crap already. Just, you know, you're part of the group. That's what a team is. You're part of the group. Stop separating yourself from the group.
Okay. So your thoughts on this and everything else from the day. Bill in Marshfield. What do you got, Bill?
Hey, I think this team has too much of a good thing, talent, and there's just role-playing issues. The intention should be Kyrie just take the most shots, then Tatum, and then a combo of Brown, Horford, and Hayward, and then the rest need to shoot less. Simply put.
Yeah, is it that simple? Is it that simple? And isn't that pretty much what they do now anyway? I mean, I don't know. If you pulled up attempts, Murray, is it Kyrie 1 and Tatum 2?
I think so.
I bet it is.
Yeah, I don't think that that's an... I don't think shot distribution is the number one issue.
It's minutes.
Yeah, and I think just working together.
Liking each other.
Yeah, there are times, right, where, again, they need a bucket. And they don't know who to go to or what to do. That's where they really start to fight, is when they're under duress. Who gets the ball? What are we going to do here? So Stevens draws up a play where Hayward inbounds it to Tatum, and Kyrie gets pissed off. It's like, well, they're just not close to being on the same page. Not close.
Mark in Rhode Island. This is a good one. It's a new one.
Can I just say I'm over this bit?
It's now a bit?
Yeah, it is.
We've got Cody and Carver. Hi, Cody.
Hey, what's going on, guys? I want to go in on a... You guys made some comments earlier that Kyrie's getting unfairly criticized. I think he's getting criticized for exactly everything that he signed up for. You know, he made it public that he wanted to leave Cleveland and be the leader of a team. He wanted to be the number one guy, and he made it public. And now when things are going hard for him, and now he's the number one guy, and he's realizing everything's not easy as it is leading the team, I think that I think he's getting all the criticism that he signed up for.
I agree. I didn't say unfairly criticized. I think not enough people are criticizing him for his play, that we're sort of missing the forest from the trees. But look, he deserves to be called out for his nonsense. I mean, he absolutely does, and he is. I'm just telling you, in the course of all that, we're forgetting that he's dogging it on the floor, which is way more important. Way more important. Go back and watch some of that Houston stuff. You mentioned B-Rob. He did a good job on Boston Sports Journal with little clips, both offensively and defensively. Some of the trips up and down the floor are a joke, are just a joke. For God's sakes, Green Mountain Luke, the most loyal, ardent Green teamer you'll ever see, said Kyrie basically stood at center court last game and gave the fans the finger he was such a dog in this game. So let's start getting on him for that. Let's start getting on him for that. He's not playing hard. We talked about the quarterback situation with the Patriots earlier. Josh in the Berkshires wants to weigh in. Go ahead, Josh.
Hey, how you guys doing? Thank you for taking the call. I think Rosen on the team would be a huge help. I just don't know if giving up a first-round pick is going to be something that you can do. I mean, we hit on these first-round picks, these late ones.
Yeah, so
if you can hit on one of these late round picks in the first round, and, going back to 2014, you got Vince Wilfork, you got Hightower and Chandler Jones in the first round. If you can get a top tier defensive player to go under Belichick, I think that might be more beneficial over these next 5 years than Rosen.
What if you can get a quarterback? I'd rather have the quarterback. So why can't you hit at the bottom of the first round on a quarterback?
You can.
So and I'm not. It looks like you don't need a first round. Like that's sort of off the board. That's where we started. That I said if they liked Rosen, I'd give up 32 for them. 10th overall pick drops to 32 the next year. I don't feel that's outrageous value if the guy's good or you think he's good. Now, if you don't like him, you don't like him. That's fine. But I'll tell you that, even if you don't like him and he drops, if you can get him for one of those low thirds that you have, those compensatory picks and whatnot, like I think you almost owe it to take a shot and see what's there.
I'd do it for one of the 2 seconds. You have two at the end of the second round. I'd do it for that. I told you, I like the idea of keeping the first. But, now I feel like I'm walking both sides of the street. But if you can get a quarterback and the guy can play, what's more valuable?
There's no pick too high. Especially not 32. Come on. But it doesn't sound like it's even going to take that. But I'm not picky. I'll let Bill make the call. I'm not going to sit here and tell him Rosen's the guy, Bortles isn't, Tannehill's this, that guy's that. Gill in West Virginia is the guy. No, it's the Jackson kid at Buffalo. No, he can pick him. I'm just telling you, do it. Get someone in here and get the guy. I want Bill coaching and developing the next guy. I want Bill's hand in the next. Give him another crack to get another Garoppolo. So don't waste any more time. Get a guy in here that you're serious about and get him under Bill's tutelage and start that clock going again.
Another Garoppolo.
Sorry, Maz, to do that to you.
Except this one won't be fragile.
Randy in East Providence. Go ahead, Randy.
There's only one.
Guys, remember, Kyrie, 4 months ago, he did not want to be behind the cameras when he was recording his Uncle Drew movie. He didn't want to get a nose job. This guy is such an egotistical maniac. I hope he goes to New York to that dumpster fire of a franchise because it'd be a match made in heaven. A dumpster fire player with a dumpster fire franchise, oh, it'd be so perfect.
Kyrie and Durant in New York.
They'll be better than the Celtics.
You think?
Yep.
I don't.
I do.
I don't.
Want to bet?
Sure.
Okay.
Let's bet.
No.
What do you want to bet?
No. If it goes that way, then fine. We can bet as to which team goes deeper into the playoffs.
You got it. Benefiting Christmas in the City, of course.
Okay. Yeah. Fine. You're on crack if you think that Durant and Kyrie won't be better than the Celtics.
I mean, in time, they would be.
Who? Aaron Baines?
I don't know. I'm with the caller. Let's see how Mr. Happy does in New York.
Is ownership going to change? Is it still going to be that nut James Dolan who fancies himself a blues musician on the side?
Well, like, I mean, not just that. I mean, Kyrie can't handle this.
Yeah, he'll be okay if Durant's there because it won't be his
team. And Anthony Davis.
It'll be Durant's team.
How are they getting Anthony Davis, Jimmy?
Because they're going to get the number one pick in the lottery because the NBA is going to fix it. And then they're going to take Zion Williams to trade him to New Orleans and get Anthony Davis, thus porking you twice.
Don't you need more than Zion Williams to get Anthony Davis?
No.
That's it? That's all they need?
Match salary, but you can do that on your own time.
Hand me a napkin. But what other value would New Orleans... That's all you would have to offer them.
I mean, he's the most hyped number one pick coming into the league since Anthony Davis.
So when he turns into a bust 3 years from now, you'll have all that marketing for New Orleans.
No, but that's true.
I mean, if you're New Orleans, would you rather have Tatum for a couple of years or Zion Williamson?
Tatum's a safer bet.
Yeah, but who puts asses in seats?
Kuzma's a safer bet. I mean, those are safer bets. You know those are going to be good NBA players. Yeah, they're sort of already are.
I bet you they'd take Zion.
You don't know what Zion's going to be?
No, I agree. I bet you New Orleans would take Zion. I bet you they would.
Upside. I bet you they would, too.
Upside. All right, well, the
upside, marketing, all that stuff.
Anyway, it is great how Kyrie says he doesn't want to be in front of the cameras. And in the midst of saying that, he grabs the Uncle Drew hat and puts it on yesterday. Did you notice that?
Yeah.
It's like right in the middle of the interview. Like, good God, dude.
Just to let you know, Uncle Drew 2 coming soon.
He has no clue about himself. None. He's completely oblivious, which is why the idea that he would put himself above these young guys, he's every bit as oblivious as they are. It's comical. It is absolutely comical.
And it's so interesting how...
He's never coached a player like me.
Oh, God.
Oh, my God. I can't believe he said that. I wanted to vomit right there when I heard that. He's never coached a player like me.
You've never had a girl like me before. I got right. Calm down.
Oh, my God. When he said that, I wanted to puke. I wanted to project out of every orifice of my body. I wanted to just convulsively puke. It was awful. He's never coached a player like me. Oh, get home. Over yourself. Good God. He's never coached a player like me because I'm special. I'm special. I'm better than anybody else Brad has ever coached. Oh, you tool. Like, who says that? It is. It's LeBron. It's LeBron-itis. Son of LeBron. That's where son of LeBron's playing for the Celtics. It's unbelievable. It's like a horror movie for crying out loud.
Mini-me. Little Penny.
Exactly.
Little Penny there.
Oh, God, it's brutal. He's so brutal to listen to. Brutal. Oh.
Here's Murray's update. The latest on the Patriots today on franchise tag deadline day. It doesn't really come off the tongue, but there it is. The latest, and then we're right back.
This is Felger and Mass
on 98.5,
the Sports Hub.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
At the end of your ride home, you'll be all caught up.
If you get suspended again, you're going to miss playoff time, or you're going to miss time in the playoffs.
Or questioning your judgment.
Sorry I brought it up.
Felger and Mass. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Right back to your phones, as promised. Mark's in Acton. Go ahead, Mark.
Hey, how you doing?
Good God, Mark.
Anyhow, I agree with you, Felger. In the NBA, talent wins, and chemistry definitely takes,
you know, a backseat to talent, obviously. But I would challenge you to think of, like, a team that has won despite everybody on the team hating each other and such a discord being, you know, within the team. I could maybe say the Kobe and Shaq years.
Right.
But I don't think that those guys aired it out in the media in the same way. Maybe.
Okay, so Mark, your phone is just
brutal.
Okay, name NBA teams that have won despite discord. Kyrie apparently hated LeBron when they played together. So they weren't great friends in Cleveland.
The Warriors last year.
The Warriors last year were a hot mess. Okay? Hot mess. Your team here, I'm not telling you it was a complete dumpster fire like this. I'm not, you know, this feels like it's extreme. And what is so amazing, and I just say this as an aside, is how open everybody is. It's not even like, you know, Felger and Mavs have to guess. The players come out and tell you after every other game, it's toxic. We're not having fun. We're not playing together. The coach says it. The players say it. Like, you can't even challenge us on this. The players are telling you. It's so out in the open. It's unbelievable.
I mean, again, this is why it's all about the individual. They don't keep it in-house. It's not about the group.
Okay, so
they all just bare their souls.
So this is bad. I'm not telling you every team is as bad as this. But Golden State last year, from everything we understand from our NBA moles, Jimmy Stewart, is that it was really bad. Really bad. And you're, again, the 07-08 Celtics, Rondo and those guys. They still don't talk to each other. You know, it's still not right between them and Allen and all that crap. They had all sorts of crap going on. And some of it's been reported out. You know, Rondo chucking water bottles at the TV screen during team meetings. Like, they had all sorts of crap. Don't tell me that any LeBron team has ever been normal. Any LeBron team, I bet there was all sorts of crap going on behind the scenes.
Levels of, because again, he breeds it. LeBron breeds it.
So I'm telling you, a lot of teams have won despite that, which what makes this so unique, that it's actually really brought you down.
So the only thing I wonder with all those scenarios is that it feels to me like the guys on the team were generally veteran guys. So they had the capacity, I think, the maturity, to go out and separate it when the game started. With this team, they don't. And that includes Kyrie, by the way.
Yeah.
Like, because Kyrie thinks he's a veteran and he acts like a rookie. He really does. This is part of the problem, is that he puts himself way above these young guys and he's every bit as immature and juvenile as they are. Like, the idea that the guy is a leader is laughable.
Dimitri and Chelsea. Go ahead, Dimitri.
Hey, guys. I think you remember back in 07 when Danny signed KG and Ray, they sent the team over to Italy before the season started in October for like this bonding camaraderie trip.
Yeah.
Why did Danny never repeat that? I mean, you'd think after last year's team with Gordon coming back this year and Kyrie sat out the playoffs, you know, you got a chance to run for a championship this year. Did you let something fall through your fingers by not strengthening the camaraderie on this team?
So that was Doc's idea. That was a Doc thing. So this is really a question for Brad. I wonder if did Kyrie's schedule allow it or was he out on a movie junket?
Good question. I also wonder whether it would have mattered.
And didn't correct me if I'm wrong, didn't that team have a preseason trip to Italy?
Yeah, that's what he just said.
Yeah, no, but it so I'm sorry. I sort of
Doc scheduled the duck boat tour.
Yeah, they did that too.
That's what he's talking about. Okay, I got confused. The Italy trip was sort of a happy circumstance.
Yeah, they had preseason games over there.
Where they were able to come together in Italy. Doc, right, that's right. He did a duck boat thing with the guy.
Right.
And in Italy, the Celtic team cell phones didn't work, so they had to talk to each other.
Yeah, he took Garnett, Pierce, and Allen on the duck boats and said, this is what the parade tour will be. If we win the championship, here's what it's going to be. But the trip to Italy, like, so look, what the caller's saying in theory, and this has crossed a lot of people's minds, this whole idea of the team bonding trip. They were all veteran guys who hadn't won. Like, they'd been around a while. They had had their egos stroked, and they'd gotten the playing time, and they'd gotten the ball.
No, I mean, I'm sorry. I said this all in the preseason when you all thought I was being a contrarian a-hole. Like, the only thing that could derail the team is this thing. And
egos.
But the difference, Maz, and you're missing out the big thing about 07-08, they had all been paid. They'd all been max guys. Garnett, by that point, had made $100 million, the highest paid, highest paid guy in the league, I think, by the time he got here.
I think his first contract was that.
Okay, so Garnett had already been paid. Pierce had already been paid. Allen had already come off his max contract years. So they'd all gotten their money. They'd all won their MVPs. Garnett has won his MVPs, and not that the other two were MVPs, but you know what I'm saying. And so at the end, that's all they had. So it was much easier for them to subjugate themselves versus these kids.
Of course.
Who are trying to build their brands, which is like the most important thing in that league now, and make their money and blah, blah, blah. So it was a much different circumstance, this than that team.
Absolutely. They were veteran guys. They'd had it all. The only thing they hadn't done was win. So they could look at it and say, you know, all this other stuff, it's great, but I've already experienced it. So now I'm going to sacrifice to get the thing I really want. These guys, clueless. And the fact that they got to the Eastern Conference Finals without Kyrie last year made it worse. It made it worse. In retrospect, we all thought at the time when Gordon Hayward went down, well, the silver lining is Tatum and Brown will get more minutes and it'll accelerate their development. It accelerated it too much to the point where they think they're stars.
Well, but in the NBA, the most important thing for these guys now is their brand.
Yeah, I understand that. I'm just telling you that these guys don't have the experience or the maturity and haven't had enough of the accolades, whether it's contracts or all-star games or branding or all the above. They don't have the capacity to get by that. It's a problem.
Well, I just think they're more concerned with building their own individual thing, and that the ring isn't yet important to them. The ring becomes important when you've been in the game for a while and you haven't won, and now it's like, oh, Kevin Durant, you can't win. You've gotten everything else. You've been an MVP. You've made your money, but you don't have a ring. And now the priority becomes the ring. But the first thing for these guys, money, brand, that's 1-2. And then I think the ring comes after all of that.
Yeah, the sneaker deal is more important than the ring.
No question for these guys.
LeBron went to Miami and checked it off his list and then went right back to the branding. The whole thing was about the LeBron brand from the very beginning. That's what Miami was about. I got to go get my rings and get them out of the way so I can focus on the stuff that's more important.
Long commercial-free segment comes your way after these words.
Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.
At Giant Eagle, you may have spotted the Stacker. With uncanny MyPerks ability, she stacks up the perks to choose either dollars off or up to 20% off her entire grocery bill. The Stacker, stacking up huge savings with MyPerks. Find your MyPersonality and transform your shopping into free gas and groceries. Full details at GiantEagle.com/MyPerks. Perks cannot be earned or redeemed on select items. Restrictions apply.
I hate jokes. We're not taking jokes.
That joke blew.
It's Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Celtics will, Marcus Smart will just dribble out the clock, and this one will come to an end. There have been many disappointing days and nights throughout the season. This is the latest, another furious fourth quarter comeback for the Celtics, and again, good signs in it. But the hole they dug was too deep, and the Celtics have really struggled throughout the year to come up with that signature win against a marquee team. That's the bad news. The good news is you can't score a bigger win. And the Celtics have an opportunity to steal on Tuesday night as they begin the West Coast trip at Oracle Arena against the reigning and defending world champs. Final score, Houston 115, Boston 104.
Can't get a bigger win than turning around and winning tonight in Oracle Arena. How could, you're laughing, Murray.
It just seems a bit much. I mean, I'm not going to put an asterisk on it by any stretch, but I don't know, Warriors, I think they're 3-4 in their last seven. They don't have Klay Thompson tonight. Like, if you win it, nice, but it ain't going to turn the season around because they beat the Warriors in Oakland without Klay Thompson.
Is there any little piece of you, any little percentage of you left that think they can still turn it around?
No.
With a couple of big results and the ball starts rolling and that they can figure it out, there's not just a little piece of you that think that's still possible?
Nope.
Sure.
Yeah, I do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know how. If you ask me to put a percentage on it, it's small. I mean, 2%, 5%.
I was gonna say 10%.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what the number is. It's low, though. I mean, like unusually low, lower than normal. You know, even the Patriots, you say, like, you know, if you were to use that as a comp, well, I don't know what the percentage was there. 10%, 15%, whatever. Fine, there's a shot because it's who they are. These guys, what have they ever done to make us think that they could do it? And I'm sorry, I'm including Kyrie in this. He has never given any real indication that he can lead a team. I'm not talking about the player. I'm talking about the guy. Can he lead a team? Can he inspire confidence in others? Because that's what leadership is, having people look at you and say, I believe in this guy. That's exactly what it is. I don't think the other guys on the team look at him that way. And I touched on this in the email this morning. Now's as good a time as any to bring it up since we're talking about leadership. I like Al Horford too, but he's not a leader either. Not the kind they need right now. Because a real leader, a veteran leader with a strong presence, would have grabbed Kyrie or someone by the shirt collar early on and said, well, how do you think you are?
No, it's the Dustin Pedroia thing. Like, just let me play and leave me alone. Whatever the, you know, nonsense going on, guys' bitchiness, like, I don't want to deal with any of that. Just let me play.
I mean, Horford just wants to sit there and do his thing and lead by example, all of which has value. There's value for a guy like that on a team.
He's a role guy, Mass.
But in a time of crisis?
He's a role guy on and off the floor. And he's a really good guy on the floor, but he's still a role guy.
Yeah, I mean, I'd say good guy all the way around, like on the floor and off.
No, but what I mean is it's hard for a role guy to be the guy.
Yeah, but he's got seniority.
Sure.
He's got seniority. And the other, you know, before Kyrie, they looked up to him.
Did they?
Jerry? Yeah.
How do we know that Al Horford earlier in the season didn't go to Kyrie to have this type of leadership discussion and Kyrie just brushed him off?
It's possible.
Is that when Kyrie said we need a 13, 14-year veteran here to come in here?
Yeah, I wouldn't rule that out. Because, again, Kyrie feels like the kind of guy to me that if you went and approached him and said, hey, listen, can we talk for a second? You know, what do you want to talk about, man? Like, he wouldn't give you the time
of
day.
You want to talk about leadership, Kyrie? Oh, please. You kidding me? We might as well just hand the East to Toronto if you're the leader of this team, Al. Go away. Go sit in the corner and set a screen.
I mean, he's the kind of guy that would look at someone else approaching him like that and saying, who are you to be able to talk to me like this? I didn't talk to Bron like that. That's what he would say.
And emotional fragility aside, just the way that they're playing, it's one of the main reasons I don't believe in any kind of a deep run. Marcus Morris has turned into a pumpkin. They're still relying way too much on Gordon Hayward, who's afraid to do basically anything. They don't defend as well as they did. Smart's the only one that does. And when he gets going, he wants to shoot more. So there you have problems there. The bench can't score. They're a mess.
Okay, but I think a lot of those things are a function of their dysfunction. Murray.
Yes, right.
Meaning they're not capable of doing those things. They're totally capable of doing those things, but they just hate each other.
Defensively, I'll give you that. Yeah, I mean, I think if they liked each other a little bit more and there wasn't this whole thing going on, you'd see better defense.
But you're right. Gordon Hayward's Gordon Hayward. That no matter how much love he gets, he's damaged goods right now. So I agree with that. But a lot of those other things, shot selection, ball movement, aggressiveness on defense, is all fixed if they start playing for each other.
Absolutely. Right? Yep, absolutely it is. And again, the problem now is they've gotten to this stage and they played 60-some-odd games or whatever the number is, and now they're all walking on eggshells because they're afraid of saying something or doing something that's going to piss off the next guy. And so now they're not confident on top of it on the floor. It just snowballs. It spirals. It gets worse and worse and worse.
Continue with your thoughts. It's not just Kyrie. We did a whole couple hours on Patriots at the franchise deadline, the Bruins. Around the board, we use Red Sox stuff as well, so we'll mix in all those calls. I see some on the board right now, but we'll get back with Jim and Beverly on the Celts. Go ahead, Jim. Jimmy! Okay, you weren't ready to go. Keith is in New Hampshire. Hi, Keith.
I think that Kyrie hates Brad Stevens.
Strongly dislikes.
Okay, same thing. He has taken shots at him now 2 weeks in a row. I think he's smart enough to know what he said was going to get repeated or played everywhere by saying, my team, not the kids.
Yeah, I don't think there's any question that the coach is on Kyrie's list.
I mean, that comment, he's never coached a guy like me. Think of all the levels that is sort of just an arrogant, egomaniacal, and then honestly disrespectful comment too.
I mean, let me tell you something. I don't think he likes Brad. I think he's one of those guys that won't like anyone. Has LeBron liked any of his coaches?
Nope.
Riley insisted that Spoelstra stay on the job. That was Riley's doing. If it were up to LeBron, someone else would be in there. Who was the last guy in Cleveland? Tyronn Lue. Was that LeBron's guy?
Yeah, because they fired the guy from overseas before that.
So they fired Blatt. So Lue might have been the one guy, but I don't think LeBron's liked any of his coaches.
Well, LeBron's going to fire Bill Walton here, Luke Walton here shortly.
Absolutely.
And it's going to be Brian Shaw to take over, who's a friend of LeBron.
So I don't think there's anyone there to tell Kyrie what to do because he won't take it from anyone.
No.
It's not a Brad thing. It's a Kyrie thing. Kathy in Worcester on the Patriots. Hi, Kathy.
Hi, how we doing, guys?
Good.
So, thinking about this upcoming draft, I know you guys touched upon kickers earlier, but I do believe that the Pats will draft a QB and a kicker this year. I know drafting kickers isn't too common, but realistically, there's just not a lot of high-level kicking guys out there, and we have an aging kicker in Gostkowski. They didn't franchise tag him, which I'm very happy about. But coming in, we have an aging quarterback. We got to draft a young kid. We need to put points on the board, and you won't have that proven, you know, touchdown machine in any way. So you got to be able to kick. And Bill, in general, is a special teams guy anyway. So I think there's a good chance that they're going to pick up Cole Tracy from LSU. He has experience in Massachusetts. He was a D2 kid,
Kathy,
Bill loves.
Kathy, yeah. We'll have to do the D2 kicking talk some other time. But on Gostkowski, I'm with you. I'm with her. It's just time. You've survived his late season problems here for three straight. Well, you didn't survive it. I'm sorry. I take it back. You didn't survive it against Philly. That, you know, those misses factored. You didn't survive it in the AFC title game at Denver. That killed you. You were going for two on the last play of the game because he missed the extra point. So you haven't always survived it. You survived it against the Rams. You survived that miss against Los Angeles. So he's... What, is he 30? What, how old is he now?
I want to say
he's 35.
He's 35. I wanted to say 35.
35. He's been the highest paid kicker in the game. Even though you didn't franchise him, he's still going to command $4 or $5 million a year. I think it's time to turn the page there.
Yeah, do you think Bill will?
You know what? I think he might.
I don't.
Price tag's too high.
I don't. I think he loves the guy.
He does love the guy. There's no question.
It just feels like he bends over backwards for the guy all the time.
It's true.
Jimmy, would there be a reason for that?
Hush money.
Page 36 of the Wells Report. People leave out the whole K-ball thing. There was a whole K-ball chapter of that Wells Report that was just totally ignored.
Page 32.
Not by us. And not by Bill, obviously.
You're going to bring in your binder again?
So maybe that's it. I got it all set aside, Jimmy. I got it all set aside and pre-highlighted. I don't even need to go back in and highlight it.
So is the statute of limitations on Deflategate, has that run out? Is that the deal? Like, all of a sudden, he doesn't have to pay the hush money anymore?
If I can get criticized for Julian Edelman takes from 7 years ago, then the statute of limitations on Deflategate is at least 7 years. If that's the standard, folks, then we got a long way to go on Deflategate talk. But if you want to negotiate a take statute of limitations, which means every time the Jets lose, you're not allowed to say to me, oh, how do you like the Jets now? That was 10 years ago, pal. So there's got to be a statute of limitations. I'm willing to negotiate it with you. I'm willing to come up with something. The legal statute of limitations is 3 years, right? Is it for criminal cases? I thought it was 3 years.
I thought it was seven.
I thought it was three. Maybe that's civil cases.
I can't speak to that. I don't know.
So they're on the books. You can't bring a civil lawsuit after, I thought, 3 years. Criminal after, I thought it was three. Maybe it's different state to state. I don't know. These things are on the books. We have to have a take statute of limitations where after a certain amount of time, you just let it go. Okay? Wrong take, it's over, though. You can't keep throwing it in our face.
You're not going to be able to negotiate with these terrorists.
You're right.
In Massachusetts, it's a crime-by-crime thing. So, like, murder, there's no time limit. Manslaughter is 6 years.
6 years. See, I thought it was long.
Stolen property, 6 years.
But takes are misdemeanors.
Are misdemeanors, exactly.
I mean, I would argue a week.
No.
Too short?
Couple years, you have to wear it. But after that, like...
A couple of years. I'll give you one,
no,
max.
No.
1 year.
No.
1 year. I'm still taking crap about the 2013 Red Sox, for crying out loud. It's been 5 years, and I'm going to take a lot of crap this year about the 2018 Red Sox.
That's fair. That was last year. That's fair.
To me, that should expire as soon as they throw the first pitch in 2019.
No. Would you guys say that a bad take would be disorderly conduct?
Yes.
Yeah.
So that would be a six-year statute of limitations.
I propose 3 years. Can you look up civil case statute of limitations? I think 3 years.
Disorderly conduct. How about solicitation?
Civil case. This is a civil
six
case.
6 years.
Civil cases are 6 years you have to bring
no,
a lawsuit?
No, no, no. I was answering Maz's question.
2 year statute of limitations for most personal injury claims and a 6 year for breach of contract. So it's case by case.
It varies. I propose a 3 year statute of limitations on
too
takes.
High, too long.
You can't throw, some of these things go back so long that, like, I'm now, like, I used to be a huge Tuukka Rask guy. Like, Tuukka time, and I was the Tuukka time guy. Like, I love Tuukka. Now I'm like a Tuukka hater. That's gone through so many permutations. It's like, you could call up and rag on me for both sides of the Tuukka thing. It's like it's too long. You got to put a cap on it.
So I would say just generally looking at the civil statute of limitations in Massachusetts, it's a lot of 3 years.
3 years.
Too long.
3 years.
One.
Three.
One.
It's not one, Maz.
One. I'll give you two and an option.
One's too short.
Look, two.
Look, I'm even willing to like
one.
Some of mine, like my Elway stuff, should be on the board for a couple of years. It should be. When I went all in.
So fine, two.
That's a 2-3 year statute of limitations.
Two.
Me picking the Chargers so strongly last year and then they lose by 40 or whatever, that should last a year at least. You know what I mean?
Three's too long. Three's way too long.
I'm just being fair.
Say one.
How do we get on this?
I don't even know.
I don't know. It's entertaining.
I lost track of how
you meet me in the middle. We'll settle it.
How do we even start this?
Two.
It's a 3-year statute of limitations.
Well, one.
We'll reset some of our Patriots and Bruins stuff right after Murray's 90-second update. No commercials. What the hell are we talking about?
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.